when Israel sang, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever." The Lord sent ambushes, amen, against their enemies. So when we come into it, it's a battle of truth, guys, of what we're going to believe. Amen? And the battlefield is in the mind, isn't it? What we're going to entertain, what we're going to agree with. There's all kinds of stuff that we get bombarded with and we have to pick and choose, amen? Life. Say, where's Jesus in all of this? That's the only voice I'm going to listen to anymore, amen? Because He's life. If you want to live, you're going to have to live by the Word of God. That means you're going to have to listen to His voice and obey His voice. Because when we say yes to Jesus, it equals life. How many know that death is disobeying His voice? Obedience equals life, amen, to the voice of God. If you're a born-again believer here today, if Christ is truly in your heart, then it says that the Spirit of the Lord comes to dwell within us and cries out, Abba, Father. And then God takes and writes His law on the tablets of our heart. It's in the Spirit, you see. And then we hear the voice of the Lord. Jesus said, my sheep, what? They know my voice. They hear my voice. Amen. He knows them. He says, I know them. And they follow me. So if we're God's people, it means we do what? We follow Him. If we belong to Jesus. It's not just an intellectual agreement to something. And say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. No, if you really believe Him, then you obey Him. Because if you trust Him, you will do what He tells you to do. And how many know that God didn't come to take away your joy? He came to give you joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit, amen? God is good, though, and He has brought us through so many things already, so many trials, so many difficulties, even sometimes the lumps on the road, amen, and the valleys and the hills. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'd love to be on the mountaintop all the time. Isn't it just great to be on the mountaintop with everything's going my way? But nothing grows. Have you heard that? Nothing grows on the mountaintop. It grows in the valley. So valleys and hills are all part of our experience of growth and development. And difficulties are actually good for us if we handle them correctly. Amen. If we're leaning on the Lord for grace, for provision, for the lesson He wants to teach us in the midst of those things. I know we're always wanting to get out of things, but some things you have to go through. You know what I'm talking about? Some things you can't pray your way out of. You know, some things you just have to endure. Some things you have to go through in life because God is developing character. He wants to bring us into a place of stability. He wants to have vessels that He can trust. I ain't going to flip out, amen, over spilled milk. But He wants a people that He knows that He can rely on. That can be trusted with the greater riches. The investment of His Spirit in us, amen, and the gifts of His Spirit. And God wants to use every one of us. And how many believe that? God wants to use you. He wants us to be vessels of honor. We talked about that. Paul did a great job. He forgot his notes, but he didn't need them. But in the men's breakfast yesterday, talking about vessels of honor, you know, the kind of men that God uses. You know, God wants pure vessels. How many know that you and I can make some external changes, but we cannot transform our hearts? Only God does that. And that's why we need to be crying out for God to change us. Amen. Change my heart, Lord. And so God says, okay, so here it comes. And the tests come our way. The difficulties come our way. How many know that you don't get patience except through the testing of your patience? God, make me patient right now. So it's developing the character of Christ in us through the working of the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. And so the things that we experience in life, if you're a child of God, are not beyond His notice. He knows. How many know that if you're in the Father's hand, if you're in Christ, you're in the Father's hand? if you're in the palm of the Father's hand, He's not going to go, "Well, what just happened? I didn't catch that." He knows exactly what's going on with your life. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly where the struggles are. Amen? And He's also got the provision for you, amen, to walk through every situation together and come through it victoriously. Because He says, when you walk through the waters, not if, but when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. How many know that sometimes that's all we need to know, is that God is with us? That's all I need to know sometimes. If I know that and I believe that, I'll be okay. I'll overcome. I'll make it. Don't ever listen to that lie of the enemy that says God's not with you. Jesus said, "Those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out." Call upon Him. Trust in Him. Come to Him. The Lord is there to help. And in the process of receiving grace, we are changed in our character, in our hearts. How many can look back over maybe the last 5 years, if you've been a Christian that long, and you can see that there's been a lot of good changes in your life? Amen? All right. So I'm not the man I used to be. And there's a t-shirt I read once, and it says, but I'm not the man I'm going to be. So we're somewhere in the process. Now, I understand that our completeness, our wholeness is in Christ. Amen? So God covers us with His righteousness. Amen? And that's the only reason why we can come into His presence, is because of the righteousness of Christ. Not, "Well, God, I've been doing a really good job today, so I know that You're going to listen to my prayers because I've been so good." You ever think that way? You ever think that if I'm doing really good, then God's going to be a little more open to my prayers? If I'm messing up, then God's not going to listen to me? God will listen to you, but God wants, first of all, an apology. Amen? He wants us to repent. And all you got to do, you don't have to go back, amen, and go back 5 years and start all over again. You just make an adjustment. You know, an attitude adjustment. It works every time. And if you don't make the adjustment, God will make it for you. How many know what I'm talking about? I don't like those times behind the shed, you know. But sometimes we got to go behind the shed and get a little attitude adjustment once in a while. I know, you love it. How many know we're doing our children a favor when we take them out behind the shed? If you don't have a shed, well, you know what I'm talking about. The Board of Education to the Seat of Understanding, right? And it's good for them. I mean, it wasn't pleasant at the moment, but later on it produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So God wants to develop character, stability, purity in His people. In order for us to become forth as gold or pure gold, we have to be what? Refined, right? We have to go through the fires. And that's what sometimes people are not aware of. They come to the Lord and they think, "Oh, it's just going to be la la land from here on out." And all of a sudden it's like there comes the time of testing. The difficulties come. And so Peter said, don't be shocked by these things. Understand that as God working and developing character, He wants maturity. He wants stability. He wants a people that He can entrust with the greater riches of His kingdom. Amen. So you and I can bear even more fruit for the glory of God. How many want to bear fruit for the Lord? Amen. Amen. We want to bring a return to Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, God has promised to give us beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. It's coming. And I want to talk a little bit about the righteousness of the Lord. And in order for you and I to have true peace and true joy, it is going to be the result of God's righteousness in us. You cannot have joy in the Holy Spirit without the righteousness of God. And so the world, through entertainment, offers a counterfeit a quick fix, a woo-hoo, right, time, because the entertainer knows how to stir up the emotions of people and they think that they're having a joyful experience. But yet it's not really the true joy, the lasting joy, the eternal joy of God. There's a big difference. Can you say amen to that? The joy that the Lord gives is the eternal joy. It's a superior joy. It is a joy that will strengthen and enable you to live above the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so I want us just to take a look at this scripture because this is going to be the foundation of it. And you hear me quote this a lot, and I decree this over this congregation, over this place even. In Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus came into this world to set up the kingdom of heaven. The people thought he was coming to banish the earthly governments because they had understood that a Messiah would come and that he would establish his rule and his reign over all the earth. And so many of the Jews understood, though, or at least they had thought, that there was going to be two different messiahs, because they looked into the scriptures and they saw, well, one was a reigning king and the other one was a suffering servant. So they were kind of confused about that. They didn't understand that they were one and the same person. And so Jesus came the first time as a suffering servant to secure our redemption, to become the sacrifice for the sins of the world, the Lamb of God. And so he didn't come at that time to establish, if you will, an earthly kingdom, but he introduced into the earth the beginning of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven on earth. Behold, the kingdom of heaven. He said, when he sent his disciples out, he said, say, the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. Do you understand? Wherever we go, because we carry the glory of God, the presence of the Lord, the King is with us. Amen? So when we go, we also say the kingdom of heaven, amen, is at hand. Why? Because where we go, the Lord goes with us. And he wants to establish his rule and his reign first in the hearts of people. Do you understand? There's not going to be peace on earth, goodwill towards men, until peace is established where? In the heart of man. The problem is man's heart is wicked, desperately wicked. And so we cannot legislate peace. That has not worked, and it won't work until the Lord Jesus Christ returns, amen, established his kingdom. But what he wants to do is he wants to glean a people, to secure, if you will, a body, amen, of believers, his own special people, where Israel had once on the earth been the representatives of God, amen. Now the church, amen, has taken that role as representatives or ambassadors of God. We are called to represent the Lord, aren't we, in the earth. That is why it's very important that we abide in him, that we continue to walk with him, because unless we abide in him or continue with him, we cannot bear the fruit of him. Amen? And there's not going to be any manifestation of God's glory and power. How many of you know that God has always called human beings to his earthly purposes? He's raised up a man, he's raised up a woman, amen, to do his will. And so the kingdom of God is not, as the carnal mind would understand, well, we really partied last night, we had a great time, there was lots of good food, the wine was free-flowing, okay, whatever else happened to go on, and we think, well, we're really living it up, you know what I'm talking about? And of course, then comes payday, right? And then you have to pay the piper for listening to the wrong voice and following that flute. Amen. And so we find out that the things that we thought were going to make us happy, that were going to make us accepted, were nothing but a big lie that left us empty. It gave us a temporary sense of satisfaction, but it left us empty and unfulfilled. And so in the world, people are seeking peace. They're seeking joy. People want to feel good. People want to feel better. Can you say amen? How many here like to feel good? Amen. We want to feel good. Of course we do. But sometimes we're looking for that in the wrong place, aren't we? Now, God's kingdom is not like the kingdoms of this world, is it? It's a heavenly kingdom. In His kingdom, there is no corruption. Amen? And His kingdom is a kingdom of light. There's no darkness. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. And He first establishes His reign in hearts, human hearts, because the Bible says you and I are the temple of God. He dwells in us. Amen? So we are to be an expression of God's heart in heaven here on the earth. And of course, as long as we abide in Him and continue in Him, that's exactly what will happen. We will be salt. We will be light. This is what Jesus has called us to be. To go in His name. To represent Him. To preach the truth. Amen? To bear witness to the truth. To be an example of a follower of Jesus. Remember, the Christians weren't called Christians by Christians, but by the heathen. The first time in the book of Acts, they were called them Christians because they were followers of the way, they called it. They were followers of Jesus, Christ followers. So they ended up calling them Christians. And how many know that we need to live up to that? Those are big shoes to fill, amen? That we are actually representatives of God. And it's the fear of the Lord that will govern us and keep us, amen? Even when nobody's looking. So anybody can come to church and put on a good face, right? We can put on a happy face. We can put on a dignified face or sanctified face. But God knows the heart. And I don't want to be fake. How about you? How many would agree with me that maybe there's some areas that need to be worked on in our lives yet? Amen? Good. Okay. Because if we pretend, we won't become. All right? We don't want to be pretenders. That's called hypocrisy. We just need to be authentic and real with God. And we have to desire the things that He desires. And it's the Lord that does that. He works in us. Now, God's kingdom is a righteous kingdom. I don't know about you, but I get sick and tired of the stuff going on in the earthly kingdoms and the politicians saying one thing and doing another thing. Amen? Or lying to people. You know, has anybody beside myself ever told a lie? Okay, so instead of just pointing the finger at the politicians, let's make sure that we're not doing that anymore. Amen? That we have repented of that life. That we speak only the truth. Amen? In love. Because, yeah, that's the condition of man apart from the Lord, is man is deceitful. Why? Because we are sold under slavery to sin, under Satan, and he's called the father of what? Of lies. So we're going to do naturally, amen, what our father does, and that is tell lies. Now, some people have been able to discipline themselves in their own flesh to a degree and to live a somewhat integrous life. But you find that most people, when the pressure's on, things can change quickly. It's always easy when everything's going our way, isn't it? But when things aren't going our way and the pressures of life come upon us, what we're really made of will then become evident, isn't it? How many know that God wants to squeeze the impurities out of us? He wants to purify a people. So pressure is not always a bad thing. The right kind of pressure is good. Amen. How many know that a temptation and a test all right, can be a good thing if we handle it correctly. Sometimes you're going to be tested. If you've got a short wick or a temper problem, you're going to be tested. Amen? By what? Something difficult that happens. Bless. Don't curse. Bless. Well, what God is doing is He's boiling up. He's pressuring. He's putting the olive berry into the press of His dealings. And how many know that we don't release the oil of the olive berry until we're squeezed? Amen? And so God needs a people that do well under pressure, that can handle pressure, that don't fall apart over spilled milk, over trivial or little things. God wants to build and condition us in our inner person, inner man, the Bible calls it, to make us strong in Him, strong in His might. Not because we're not leaning on our own ability, but on Christ, who is the strength of our life. So the kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness, and it means to be made right with, or be in right standing with. Okay? So if I'm in right standing with God, the fruit of that is peace and joy. But you cannot have, hear me, real peace and real joy until you first get into righteousness with God. You get in right standing with God. You come to the Lord, who is our righteousness. Joy is the fruit of God. Peace is the fruit of what? God, the Holy Spirit. So in order for me to have joy and peace, I've got to be in righteousness. There's an order to that. Some people are trying to have joy and peace, but they're not living right. They're not abiding in Him, and they're not obeying the voice of God. And so you're not going to have God's joy until you get into that place where you are in obedience to the voice of God. Now, can we earn righteousness? No, righteousness is a free gift. Now, when we receive Jesus, we receive all that He is. Righteousness, peace, and joy is in what? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. Hallelujah. So righteousness is the beginning. And it was paid for by the blood of Jesus. This righteousness is not of us, but it's of who? It's of God, right? Yes. And so Romans 5:17 says, "For by one man's offense, which would be Adam, death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness." Gift of righteousness. Achievement of? No. Gift of righteousness. See, as long as we're in the achievement mindset or mentality, we're actually living in the works or under the law. If I do well and I perform well, I'm righteous. And then the standard is perfection. So let me know when you become fully righteous in yourself. You see, it's impossible. So God provides for us, even as He did with Abraham. He imputed to Abraham righteousness, His righteousness. Why? Because Abraham believed God. God's calling us to do what? Believe Him. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Here it is. Through the one, Jesus Christ. How do we reign in life? Through the one, Through Jesus. How do we have victory in life? How do we overcome the world, the flesh and the devil? Through Jesus. Through our faith in Jesus. Amen. Our confidence in His ability. Amen. To keep us. To sustain us. To give us, amen, victory over our situation. He's already gone through, amen, for us. He's already overcome the world. So we call on the overcomer. If you're in Christ, this, the Bible says the overcomer is where? In you. Christ is in you and He is the hope of glory that we have. So the kingdom of righteousness, listen, has invaded the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of sin and death. So apart from the Holy Spirit, there's no foundation for true joy and peace. Only the pseudo or the false peace and joy that the world gives by getting high or stoned or sex or whatever else. Many people, what are we trying to find? We're trying to find real peace, aren't we? Well, if I can just get away to this desert isle somewhere. Get away from society and from all problems, then I'll be at peace. You remember reading about Martin Luther? Anybody read about Martin Luther? How he thought he wanted to get away from all the problems and all the confusion and all the mess and the sin problems and even the things that he saw in himself. So he decided to become a monk. And he wanted to go to a monastery and live an isolated life in seclusion, away from anything earthly and sensual. And yet while he was in that place, he was discovering that his mind and in his soul, he was still being tormented by the thoughts, the evil thoughts and the things that, you know, the world, you know, had infested him with, and he could not find any peace, even though he sought it and thought that if I just get away and escape to this isolated place, then I'm going to be at peace. Have anybody ever thought about, wouldn't it be nice just to be a homesteader in Alaska? Just get me out of here, God. Get me out of this mess. God says, well, I want to get the mess out of you. God wants to get the mess out of us. Martin Luther had to realize that the mess, amen, was not just that which is going on around him, but it was a condition of his heart. And the only one that could help him and deliver him from himself was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And when he received the grace of God, when he began to read the Bible, and he began to learn, it is by grace that ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Nobody had ever told him that. He was enslaved to a form of godliness without the substance, which was Christ. And he could not come to a place where he had true peace and joy. In and of himself, he had to realize that my joy comes from God and God alone. And that's when the Reformation began. He had a revelation of the grace of God. Hallelujah! Amazing grace! How sweet the sound! Now, hear me. We're not to pursue peace as an object or thing, or even a state of mind. The world is looking for peace too. People that are not in Christ are looking for peace. Can you say amen? How many before you were a Christian, you were looking for peace? Man, I'm really at peace now. I mean, we were looking for peace, right, in the wrong places. And so, peace is not an object to pursue, a thing, or even a state of mind. Well, maybe I'll just join the local yoga class and get into meditation. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians are doing yoga and they don't realize it's Hindu. It's a Hindu religious practice. And you're opening yourself up to infestation, demons. We can talk later if you don't believe me. I'll explain it to you. There's people from India that get born again that come out and tell people don't do yoga. But they think if I can just meditate long enough, if I can just think world peace, if we can all just come together in a common mind and envision world peace, that we'll have peace. How's that working? People are still, there's more wars going on now than ever in history. Maybe not major wars right now, but give it some time. There's skirmishes all over. There's a few years ago, there's over 150 wars going on. And skirmishes that the Pentagon's trying to track and keep track of. And we're involved in a lot of stuff, even a lot of stuff you don't hear on the mainstream media. The world is not at peace. And yet they're being told there is a peace that you can have if we'll all just kind of get together, skip and sing and say, we are the world. We are the people. Humanism has crept into the church. The humanistic mentality has come into the church, and a lot of people think, oh, well, we never correct. We never, you know, offend. We just make everybody feel good and gushy inside. Are you hearing me, somebody? We want to be politically correct. We want to be tolerant. That's the word, tolerance, yes. Anybody do whatever they want. Oh, for crying out loud, don't tell Johnny not to do anything that he wants to do. You're going to damage his fragile ego. Do you know how the world seeks peace? Through a compromise of one's personal values or beliefs. You want to have world peace? It's going to mean you're going to have to deny your convictions. You're going to have to compromise what you really believe and what your values are in order to get along with everybody. Oh, you don't want to make that crowd mad at you. So you just pretend that it's okay to live in corruption, to live in perversion. So we don't want confrontation. Come on, somebody. So what do? We passively yield to evil and we allow it to rule us. We become politically correct. Do you understand? It's crept into the church and a lot of Christians are already hooked up into that and not even realizing it. Why? Because they don't have the true knowledge of God and who God really is. That God is holy. God never wants His children to compromise their beliefs or their values for the sake of peace. Now let me read to you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. Is anybody here experiencing those things today? That all of a sudden, there's even turmoil, there's division within one's house sometimes because of the witness of Christ. Why? Because righteousness and unrighteousness are never compatible. They cannot coexist. Light and darkness cannot coexist. And so the righteousness of the world will never be able to harmonize with the righteousness of Christ. Because the world's righteousness is inferior to God's righteousness. The world's righteousness is inferior. My righteousness is inferior to God's righteousness. My righteousness is not righteous enough. I need God's righteousness. I need to believe God. We live by the promise of God. What did God promise us? Eternal life. God promised us victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. How? By believing in Him who has the power over the world, the flesh, and the devil. By putting my confidence in the ability of God in my life, amen? So that I also can overcome these things. Not because I'm trying harder, but because I'm leaning on the Lord and His ability for His grace. And I cry out to God, Lord, help me. Give me the strength to overcome this. And I repent of this. I turn from this. I renounce this in Jesus' name. Quit playing patty cake with the devil. Quit coddling your sin. You're not supposed to be under that anymore. If you're a child of God, you have been set free from the power of sin. Don't make any excuses and don't give yourself grace. Get the grace that comes from God. Get the approval that comes from God. You see, we can approve ourselves, can't we, quite well. Well, I'm a pretty good person. Ask me, I'll tell you. How do I love me? Let me count the ways. How many know that peace is often accomplished by confronting evil? And lasting peace is never experienced by attempting to appease evil. Has anybody beside myself tried to appease evil before? Kind of find some happy ground there where we compromise. And how many know that peace does not result from a compromise? Peace can be received through an individual, amen, receiving from God because they're in agreement with truth. They're in agreement with the Word of God, and they're not compromising what they believe or what they value. And so evil must be confronted. Let me give you an example. War is an evil thing, would you agree? But is war necessary at times? Say yes. I hope the liberals haven't gotten a hold of you that badly, but. Well, no, we just sit around and beat our drum and have world peace. Yeah, tell that to the communists, right? Yeah. Yeah, you go ahead and beat your drum. We'll be beating you over the head. Are you hearing me? It's an idealism, but it's not realistic. Peace is accomplished through war. War and peace. If you want peace, you're going to have to confront evil in your life. You're going to have to confront sin in your life. If you want peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because without the righteousness of God, there's no peace and joy. Now listen, I heard somebody say one time, I thought it was really good, that joy is peace what? Dancing. Joy is peace dancing. Righteousness is the standard by which we have peace in our hearts. Christ is the standard of righteousness for us. And from Christ we receive peace with God. Amen. And joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So don't get this confused. Some people think, I'm just going to pursue peace as a thing to be pursued, or a state of mind through meditation. And yet, come on. How many can agree with me today that you don't find true peace that way? I've tried it. True peace is a peace that goes beyond the human intellect, the human ability, the human soul. It is called the peace that passes all understanding. It is the peace of God. It is a supernatural and it is a superior peace. And only the peace of God is able to keep you and I in the days ahead and the things that we experience in our lives. It's not going to be because I'm trying to be peaceful. It's going to be because I'm receiving the peace that flows out of the Father. Amen. And not from me. And the Lord knows sometimes we need those difficulties so that we can get a hold of us and get us out of self and into Him, where we can have His peace and we can be protected from our own selves. Aren't you glad that the Lord is merciful? That He's patient? I would have been toast long time ago if it wasn't for His patience. So war is an evil that prevents a greater evil. And so peace is not possible without conflict. Guys, hear me today. We have to confront evil. We have to confront this thing called sin. We don't do it in our own cockiness, our own arrogance, and our own self-will, but we confront it by the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We need the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free from what? The power of sin. When you're in Christ, you have been set free from the power of sin. Oh, you mean I'm actually free from the power of sin? Are you in Christ? Is Christ in you? Have you repented of your sins and turned to God? And does Christ dwell in your heart? If Christ is in you, then you are free from the power of sin.
Amen.
So live in the truth. Live in the promise of God that sin is no longer my master. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I don't have to allow my sin nature ever to tell me what to do. I'm going to tell it to shut up daily. Amen? I die to that daily. Because God wants a people that He can trust. He wants a people that He can depend on for His mission in this world. And so this people need to understand who they are in their new identity. That we're no longer slaves, but we're sons and daughters, called to a relationship, a fellowship with the Lord in the Spirit. Amen? And when the Lord is in us, He produces the good fruit of righteousness and peace and joy. When we're in right standing with God, the result will be peace. So whenever you and I walk in the truth, we're going to be confronted with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Oh yeah. Not everybody's going to like you. Get over it. I'd rather have God liking me, amen? I'd rather be in good standing with God. Every time someone compromises the truth with the world, the flesh, or the devil, guess who wins? The devil wins. And so what the devil does is he makes you think that you're winning. Think that you're doing good. Samson thought he was doing good because he was kicking some Philistine butt, remember? But he was still living a double life. And so the devil just lets you go. Oh, okay. But God, look what I'm doing over here. But what are you doing with that which I've been confronting you with? I want you to put to death the misdeeds of your body. I want you to take the authority that I've given you over yourself to tell yourself what to do, and don't let yourself tell you what to do. Does that make sense? Let Christ rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Stay close to the Lord. Drink of the living water. Fill up on Him. Let your cup overflow. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup overflows. We need the oil of the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God. We need to be trusting in Him and not self. So God gives us righteousness as a gift. He doesn't add it to our life as if it were some kind of addition. Oh yeah, I've got peace over here. I've got a little joy, and I've got a little righteousness. No, what you need is Christ. If you have Him, and He's the center of your life, you have all the good fruit of God. It all flows out of that relationship. So don't make excuses for your sin. Repent of your sin. Turn to God fully. Surrender your life. Surrender it all to God. Confront the evil in your heart. Jesus said this way, if your right hand causes you to offend, cut it off. Cast it from you. He's saying be severe. Amen. With that sin nature, don't let it rule you anymore. You take charge because God has given the authorization, the power by His Spirit to overcome your flesh. Now, I want to say something else. Joy is the result of a heart in right standing with God. So if I'm not in right standing with God, I don't have peace and joy. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Well, some people think is joy is maybe a half hour song service where we kind of whip people up into a frenzy of excitement. Now, folks, hear me. I believe here the song service is a result of the overflow of God from our hearts as an expression of love to Him. Amen. That's a true song service. But a song service should never be a means by which we whip up people's emotions just so they can go, woohoo! Amen. But not be changed. What we want to do is encourage each one of us to draw near to God because God is the one who changes the heart. And so we can feel good. And some people think, well, that was joy. Well, no, maybe you had a worship leader that was a good entertainer. And he made you feel good. And so you went home entertained, but not changed. I don't ever want us to get into a place where we're entertaining. I say it this way, we're before an audience of one. When we're here, and we have to remind ourselves as a team, amen, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. And it's not about being seen of men. We're here just to join with y'all. Okay? And hopefully that everybody here is joining together to draw near to God, to worship God in spirit and truth together as a family. And the Father delights in that. He delights in His children that are loving Him and blessing Him and saying thank you to Him for all He's blessed us with and provided for us and all the goodness of God on a daily basis. How many know He's deserving? The Bible calls it worthy. He's worthy of praise. He's deserving of it. And so what we want is an encounter with the living God. We want to experience God and not just hear about God, but to know God. I pray that you may have an encounter with God and that the words that I speak are being directed by the Spirit of the Lord so that they will find resonance in your heart. They'll find root in your heart, producing the transformation and the fruit of God in your life. Amen. And we can't do this without the grace of God. Ministry is a result of the overflow of God's heart, not human hearts. Some people have learned how to do ministry. They study their curriculum, they study their lesson, and they go and they give a dry lesson to somebody, but it's not out of the heart of God. How many know it's just going to be a dead letter, and the people will enter there dead, and they'll leave dead. Amen? But we need the impartation of life that the Spirit of the Lord supplies. And that's what we're always talking about is turn your eyes upon Jesus. It's all about Him. He's so wonderful. He's so glorious. He's exciting. Hallelujah. He's a life-giving Spirit. Get on fire for God. And you won't want the lesser things, the inferior things. You know what the enemy does? He tries to get us to disconnect from fellowship because when we're in fellowship, we find strength and we find encouragement. So if he can isolate us long enough from fellowship, come on somebody, then we can start to forget. And then he start offering cheap counterfeits and replacements, amen, for that. And occupy us with lesser things. And why does he do that? Because he wants to rob us from what God has, which is superior, always better. The life He came to give us is superior quality and superior quantity. Abundant life, He called it. So joy is the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want to make another point because it's very important we understand this. Joy is a result of brokenness. and repentance. God, by the Spirit of the Lord, brings us to a place through the Word where we are broken before Him. We are convicted before Him. We are brought to a place of godly sorrow, that we've grieved the heart of God and that we need mercy. God first breaks us, brings us to a place of contriteness in our hearts, in hopes that that will produce in us not just the sorrow for being caught, but the sorrow that leads to a repentance, meaning that I'm sorry enough, so God, I will never do that again. Zacchaeus repented, amen? And he said, Lord, I'm not just going to say with my lips that I repent, but I used to be a thief, and I'm going to demonstrate by my actions that I am truly repentant. From now on, I'm going to bless others, whereas before I used to take from others. Are you hearing me, somebody? That's true repentance. And Jesus said, this day salvation has come to your house. God wants us free from all addiction. Here we go. You're truly repentant, and God is saying, stop. I pray God for contriteness, for a brokenness over that, that we begin to see sin as it really is sin, and the ugliness of it, so that it will produce in me a contriteness and a loathing of that thing to the degree where I don't want this anymore. I hate this sin. I want this sin out of my life. God, help me. God, deliver me. God, set me free. Lord, I repent. I turn to You for help, for grace. Set my spirit free, Lord. Forgive my sin. And through brokenness and repentance, which means to turn back to God for the help that we need, the grace that we need, then the joy comes. Then the peace floods our hearts again. Amen? God is restoring and bringing back, and He's doing a work in all of us here, I believe. So the oil of joy, and I said this earlier, it flows out of the pressed olive berry. Your life, my life, undergoes the process and the pressures and the difficulties and these things that will, what it'll do is it'll squeeze, in a sense, the life. Amen? Now, one illustration is that a seed, Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone, right? But you think about a seed, you ever look at a seed and you think, how can anything happen and grow from that ugly little dried up thing, you know? There doesn't seem to be, and by appearance, there's no life in a seed. But the life is in that seed. And in order for that life to come forth, something has to happen to that seed. It has to be germinated. Amen? It has to be watered. The nutrients, the elements of nature working on the shell, that hardened shell of that seed, amen, that begin to weaken that outer shell. That's the outer man. That's the sin nature. God begins to cripple and bring that part of us to a place of contriteness and desperation and understanding that in myself, I can't do this. But God has, through His Spirit, has planted that seed of life in us. God wants to break that outer man so the inner man, the life of Christ, can sprout, that can come forth. Out of that death comes life. We have to die to the old in order to walk in the new. And as that thing begins to sprout, that thing has to get some roots. We've got to get in the Word. We've got to be in fellowship. We've got to be in prayer. Amen? We've got to get our roots deep into the Word of God, grounded in Christ. Amen? Lest the things of this life will blow that seed and blow that plant away. Jesus said the soil of the heart needs to be conditioned to bear fruit. Who does that? God does that. God's taking you through a process. God's taking you and I through a process of brokenness. He's breaking up the fallow ground of the heart so that the life of Christ can be manifested and so that we no longer depend upon the old nature. How many here have tried in your old nature to please God, to serve God? Okay? God's trying to break us from that, to bring us to a place of desperation, which is a good place to be because that outer shell cannot produce life. We need the life that's within to manifest without. So don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you. Amen. What you're going through is preparation for what God has up ahead. Do you want true joy and peace in your life? The foundation has to be His righteousness. And we're not going to receive His righteousness until we're done with our righteousness. Until we realize that our righteousness is filthy as rags. It's no good. It's not acceptable to God. I need His righteousness. If I'm in His righteousness, then I have peace and I have joy in the Holy Spirit. It didn't say in yourself, it says in the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is prophetic on Isaiah 61, speaking of Jesus. Because the Lord has anointed me too. And I don't want to read down through all of them. I want us to focus on just verse 3 because it has to do with what I'm talking about today. What was the Spirit of the Lord upon Jesus for? What was the purpose? In verse 3 it says, to console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. So in order to have beauty, you must first have ashes. The oil of joy for mournings. In order to have joy, there must be first mourning. There has to be contriteness. There has to be godly sorrow. In order for the joy, true joy of the Lord to come forth. You see, we've done people a disservice today. We've just told people, oh, all you got to do is say this prayer and you're done. People have not even understood that they had a problem. And they've been given the solution. You understand? We need to know that we're sinners before we can even be saved. God's not just patching up an old thing. Oh, just go and get some self-help classes. You'll be fine. Jesus said, deny yourself. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So for the garment of praise, you're going to have what? Spirit of heaviness. Do you see the opposites? That they may be called trees of what? Righteousness. The planting of the Lord that He may be glorified. Folks, all I can tell you, I don't understand it all, and neither do you. But I can tell you from my personal experience that God had to bring me to a place in my life where I was broken. Sufficiently broken, that I was done with my way before I was in the place to be used for His way. So sometimes we say, what is going on? What's happening? Why this and why that? How about saying, Lord, thank You that You're producing in my life the fruit of salvation. And through the difficulties, amen, I'm growing, I'm becoming stronger. Because You want a tree that will be able to endure the winds and the waves, amen, beating against it. He wants trees, strong oaks that have deep roots that are going to be able to stand through the difficulties of this life. He wants people that are going to be strong in Him, established in Him, in the power of Him, and no longer trusting in themselves. Thank You, Jesus. For I can do all things through Christ. The world says you can do all things by yourself. And that mentality has crept into the church. No, we say I can do all things through Christ. Well, Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to hear this message today, for being with us. Thank you for grace. Your grace is sufficient for me. I trust in you. I look to you. I know, Lord, that you will make a way, even where there doesn't seem to be a way, because I'm not to live by sight, but by faith and your promises. God, I believe that you are working out your salvation. You're working out your plan in our lives, that you're bringing us sometimes through deep waters. But God, you're going to produce in us a harvest, a fruitfulness, as your Spirit will pour out of us, Lord, as living waters. For you said to them that believe on me, as the Scripture said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. So God, we pray that you'd break up the fallow ground of every heart. God, that our hearts will be contrite, our hearts will be broken before you, that our hearts will be yielded to your Spirit, that we will no longer be obstinate and stubborn and resisting your Spirit. And God, when you tell us to stop, we will stop. When you tell us to go, we will go. God, I ask you to produce in us your righteousness, that we might have true peace and joy in your Holy Spirit. For that is your promise, and this is what you want for your people, that we experience the joy of salvation.